And Lord, I pray that joy would come to the world. And we pray for vaccines to work. We pray for wise decisions by leaders. We pray for careful living by everyone involved, that we can make it to that day when everyone will be well and whole, and we look back and say, thanks be to God. But even beyond that day, we look forward again to the fullness of your kingdom and to your will coming to pass in every way in the world. And Lord, I just pray that your love and peace will spread through us. Thank you for this time together. Continue to bless and move in this time. And we pray this all in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Okay, at this time we will... Oh, it looks like we've got the stuff. All right. Thanks be to God. Okay, so today we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3 for the message. And we'll be beginning at verse 8 this morning. So maybe we can find those slides in the sermon so folks can follow along. So we're down into the message now. So 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. And so I'll be reading from the New International Version this morning. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow to keep his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, or revealed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. This is God's word. Well, so this is describing for us the in-between times in which we live. And you may say to yourself, well, why is this text here in the middle of Advent? It's not a warm and glowing Christmas text. It's not a gospel image of shepherds watching over sheep, or even Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Instead, we get an image of the day of the Lord arriving, and the day of the Lord arriving like a thief, and images of judgment, images of dramatic change, of things being revealed. And sometimes these images bring about fear, not joy, and certainly not peace. But maybe that is the word that we need to hear in the midst of a season like this, with the glow of lights and all the pretty packages that are out there and the warm fuzzies of Christmas radio. While we're celebrating Christ coming to earth as a baby in Bethlehem, we need to be reminded that we are also looking forward to his coming again. So we're living in this in-between time. We're looking back at the kingdom that he inaugurated and all the things that have happened to bring it forward to our time. And we're looking forward to the fullness of the kingdom that is yet to come. And therefore, that puts us squarely in the right moment where we are. So the people who received this letter that was written by Peter, they also were living in these in-between times. But they were the first group to have to go through it. They were the first ones to have to piece it together and make sense of this in-between time. And they had wondered how soon Christ was going to return, and they were probably wondering why it didn't happen more quickly even back then. And so, in their confusion, they're questioning about what is causing the delay. Is it their fault? And if not, how are they supposed to live? And what are we all supposed to be doing while we wait? And so Peter lays it out for us with clarity how we can live. And he says that we should live in peace. So this is a text about a promise, and this is a text about hope that comes from that promise and fuels how we live our daily lives. So they're wondering about if and when Christ is going to return, and they must have been talking about the slowness of God during this time and the sense of waiting and delay that was going on. And Peter seeks to turn their hearts toward a different way of hearing and understanding what's going on. It isn't because God has forgotten his promise. That wasn't the reason why it took so long for Jesus to be revealed in the first place, and it's not the reason why we have to wait for him to be revealed again. It's still a trustworthy promise, just as it's always been. But what's revealed in this passage is that a big part of it is because God is patient with humanity. And it's the patience of God that is giving the opportunity for more people to come into the kingdom, for all of humanity, hopefully, to turn toward God in repentance. And while Peter is discussing this, he reminds us that God is not necessarily keeping time the same way that we do, right? We have our watches that track things down to the second, or if you go to the stopwatch, you can go to the hundredths, or now they measure the thousandths of a second to try to see who won a swimming race or a running race. And we're just tick, 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 tick. We're trying to manage our minutes and our seconds and make the most of them, and look at all the time that's passing, Lord. But it says that to the Lord, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. And I don't think that means that God isn't paying attention to the moments. I think it's more than that. It's that in God's perspective, he understands what is best on a scale that's hard for us to comprehend. Though our toils seem endless, God sees an even bigger picture all the time, and that makes such a big difference. Now, there is an image in this text, an image of fire, and it does seem to involve judgment, but it's more precise than that. It has more to do with things being refined and perfected. Refiners of fire are mentioned in other passages as well, and that's a purification process, right? You heat things up, the junk comes to the surface, right? And it's skimmed off the top, and what remains is pure. And it seems like that's what God has in mind for the long term as his kingdom will be revealed. And so creation must be subjected to a perfecting and purifying process that will come as God is seeking to remake this world. Just as chaff is burned up while the wheat remains, so too shall the world be. And that's something to think about. I don't think that that means that we're not to care for this world. I don't think that means that we can just use up all the resources and not worry about it because God's going to make a new one. I don't think that's what he would want us to do. He wants us to take care. He wants us to respect what he has given us. In fact, in the garden, that's the task that he gave. The very first task that he gave to human beings was to care for and tend that garden. And so that call and that responsibility does come to us. But understanding the long-term view, that God is working things together for good, that he doesn't want everything to stay the same as it is, that he wants this world to eventually be all that he intended it to be. And in order for that to come to pass, there is a shaking and there is a remaking that must happen. And so we need to live with that awareness every day. So, in the right frame of mind, this is a hopeful word that the painful and sinful places of the world, the places where suffering seems to go unchecked, these will be renewed. The darkness will be removed and replaced with light, and what is good will remain. Verse 10 sometimes is read as if God's just going to blow the whole earth up. But really, it seems to be emphasizing that God's going to be revealing what's going on in the world, that God is heating things up and doing a renewing work that involves a certain tearing down. It says that all that's being done on the earth will be revealed. So it's about a great disclosure, both of God's purposes and also of all the pain and the loss that sin has caused. Has anyone ever been hurt? Has anyone grown weary of seeing injustice in the world? Has anyone experienced heavy loss and deep pain? Well, in order to resolve all of these things, then God has to make big moves in the end. And whenever there's change, whenever moves happen that can lead to something better, we experience it as lost. I'm a Cubs fan. I don't know if anybody else is a Cubs fan. This has been brought me many moments of joy. It's brought me many other moments of sadness along the way, across the years. And the Cubs, they won the World Series. And I got to say, that was like a childhood fantasy come true to see Anthony Rizzo walking across Wrigley Field carrying that trophy. I was there that night to see it. But now, things have not gone so well the last few years, and as they have struggled to find their way, they've had to make changes. And so Theo Epstein, our baseball savior, he moved on. And then they cut and released our beloved Kyle Schwarber, if you're not a Cubs fan, I'm sorry, this morning. And then we just heard over the weekend that Len Casper, the Cubs broadcaster for TV for 16 years, he's going to do the White Sox radio. And it's painful if you're a Cubs fan. But maybe, just maybe, there is a plan underway that's going to make, because these things have moved and changed, it makes room for something more to be possible in the future. And so sometimes when there is loss and judgment and destruction that comes down, sometimes that paves the way for something new and better to move in. And so as Christians, we take that to heart. Forget about the Cubs. But in the unfolding of the kingdom of God, we move forward in hope, knowing that even in our loss, God is at work, working all things together for good. So the heart of this text is the already not yet kingdom of God. Let's say that together. The already not yet kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God here already? Yes, it is, because Jesus has come, because Jesus died for our sins, because he was raised again from the grave, and because he ascended to the Father, and because the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. The kingdom of God is here and now. It's changing lives. If you're watching this or here with us today, it probably changed your life or the life of someone you know. And so, yes, Jesus announced that the kingdom of God has come near. But then I could ask the question again and say, is the kingdom of God here? And in important ways, we'd have to say, not yet. Not yet. It has not been fully revealed. The world is still a very broken place, and so there's work to be done, and there's a season of waiting that needs to happen. So, this morning, Christ did bring the kingdom to the earth, but it's not fully actualized until Jesus comes again. So the incarnation began something powerful, something that we can never go back on. Jesus did enter this world, and so something fundamental has changed about this world, where good is possible. But until he comes again, there will still be a sense of yearning and longing. There will still be some things yet unfulfilled. We still see acts of injustice, acts of war and hatred. We still see Christians living below what they know. And we, as we look at our own lives, see areas where we could grow and improve and change in him. But as Advent people, as Christians celebrating that Jesus is coming again, we live in the great in-between time, celebrating the birth of Christ while we await his final return. We don't know the exact moment, so we must live as people who are always ready. Amen? So in the story of Stephen in the book of Acts, it's over in Acts chapter 6 and 7, we see a man who was full of the Holy Spirit and trying to live an obedient life and proclaiming who Jesus was. And religious authorities did not like what he was doing. And so they decided they were going to put him to death for telling people about Jesus. And as he was being stoned, and we're talking about actual rocks being thrown at you, not the other kind of stoned. Don't misunderstand. As he was being stoned, he saw a vision of the heavens, a vision of what was yet to come. He sees the heavens open. He sees the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God the Father. And this moment clearly illustrates the inbreaking kingdom of God. It was so clear to Stephen, even in what others would have seen as the worst moment of his life, he was seeing the clearest vision of what is yet to come. And that vision was a possibility for anyone who was there that day. But the crowd of people, they chose to ignore that vision, and they chose to pronounce their own judgment on Stephen. And Stephen was still stoned. But as he's about to die, Stephen prays a prayer of forgiveness for them. Many theologians and scholars think that that is the moment where the man who would become the Apostle Paul, who at that time was the Pharisee Saul, he was standing off to the side, holding everyone's coats while they did this terrible thing. And many people believe that's the moment where God began to speak to Saul, who would become Paul, about the undeniable truth of who Jesus is. And Paul's heart begins to turn toward Christ. So, as people living in this in-between time, we have a tremendous opportunity. Whether people believe our message or not, whether people think we're great or not, if we are living that truth before them, they may eventually become people who see it for what it is. And we have an opportunity to bless their lives. Peter instructs the early church on how to live as people waiting for Christ's return. And so he keeps it general, and I'm glad, because that way it fits in every age. But he talks about living in peace. We know that Jesus was called the Prince of Peace. And there's an overarching message throughout the scriptures about God's desire to bring peace. In Greek, that term is eirene, and in Hebrew, that term was shalom. That sense of overall well-being that God would bring to the world. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Wholeness, completeness. That's what God wants to bring in our lives. And ultimately, he wants to bring that to the whole world. So, the message of Christmas declares this peace. And Jesus preached that peace during his earthly ministry. In the Sermon on the Mount, he calls peacemakers blessed. So if the message of his first coming is peace, then the message of his second coming is peace also. We know that Christ's return will make all things right and whole. So for us, that means that we seek to live, first of all, at peace with God. So we're called to live holy lives, Peter says, holy and blameless lives, having purity, lives that are lined up with holiness. Now, I know that none of us are perfect, and all of us have room to grow in our lives. And we shouldn't go around looking down on other people just because God has had mercy on us and forgiven us and begun a work in our lives. And so as Christians, we should be looking for how we can grow more to be like Jesus. We should want to be able to grow in his love, grow in our understanding of him, and let him continue to work in our lives. And I hope that we want that more than we want anything else. So let God work in your life. It's possible for us to live transformed lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that this morning? I believe that God does not call us towards something that he cannot empower us to live. So this morning, let us aim for the high calling that we have in Jesus, and let us lean on the grace of God and the energy and power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we can do it. There is no taking pride. There is only giving glory to God and humbly seeking to grow in grace. So, he talks about righteousness. And righteousness is another word for justice. It means things made right in our lives and in the world. And it also references loving God and loving others. That's at the heart of what it means to live in peace. But it's not just a message of standing back in peace, but rather it's a lesson about patience. And patience means we can wait, we can hold steady, we can keep working, but we live with expectation. We live believing that God is at work. We're not just resigned that nothing's going to go well. No, we are looking for where God is working, and we're not growing impatient with that process. And here's the thing. Remember, like Peter said, that the patience of God means greater opportunity for us to get our lives right before God and stay in sync with him, and for more people that we know and love to experience that grace. So it's about making every effort to live at peace. And it indicates it's something we're going to have to work toward. And we may sometimes fall short, but we can press on in the love and power that God gives. So, as the people who are still waiting today, we are to live as kingdom people now. So maybe we are going to have to endure persecution. I don't know that. I know that in other parts of the world, there are Christians experiencing persecution even today. But we look ahead in hope. And we look at others in patience and in love. So may the patience of God guide how we see and respond to others. And so it looks like holiness. Learning to align our entire lives with the Holy Spirit, seeking to have goodness in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, and in our world. And so if we let all of our lives be more surrendered to God, then God can use us to bring about the well-being of others around us. And this morning, who are you loving in this season in a special way? This morning, who is it that God would highlight in your mind and heart to say, this is my neighbor, this is the other that I need to love. Is there a widow or an orphan in your life who needs the blessing of God? Can God help you to love the unlovable? Well, this morning, it's a promise. Christ is going to return. And we don't know when, but we do know that it will happen. And so that should shape how we live every day. Now, December is a natural time for us to think about reaching out. And as the season of Advent comes again and again, it reminds us to look in hope for Jesus' return. But we really can live this way all the time, whether we have reminders about it or not. It's more about a way of living our lives in the world, with an eye toward the kingdom that's yet to come, and with a heart filled with holy love. So let's love well. Let's live holy and blameless lives, and let's help each other to do that this morning. And let's be people of peace, living toward a kingdom of peace that Jesus is bringing. But friends, it's not easy. And as we wait, as we sometimes feel frustrated and discouraged, this morning we can let ourselves be renewed in hope. And we can be that encouragement to those around us. We have these two candles that are lit today. We're getting closer to the fullness of Christmas. But in this time of waiting, can we learn how to be people of peace in the time of in between? Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you that your word has so many nuggets of insight for us. And this passage that's deep in the end of the New Testament, that some may not read often or recall, it's here this morning to remind us to be people of peace, remembering not to get too cozy with the way things are now, but that you are a God who is disrupting and remaking and reforming things. But we can trust that process if we are fully yielded to you. This morning, Lord, if anyone has been really locked in to a time of struggle and fighting against things that are happening in the world that could possibly be your hand moving, and it has kept us from a place of peace, Father, I pray this morning that you would come as the Prince of Peace and just reign in our hearts, that we would let go of control and trust you, that we would not see our neighbor as our enemy, but instead we would see them as someone to love. And Father, if anyone's just growing weary with the waiting and all the struggles in between, would you come near and let them know you understand, but that your will is unfolding in the world and you are at work and you have kept them through everything up to this moment. And you have a good purpose that will be fulfilled for their lives. Please encourage them and remind them this morning. And Father, just bless all of us. Keep us in your kingdom. Keep us in your family. Keep us living in hope during these days. And Father, I cannot wait for that moment when Jesus is revealed. But Father, look within my life and the life of everyone else, Lord, to help us to see how we can be more ready for that moment, more ready to embrace the fullness of your presence. We bow humbly before you, Lord, and ask that you'll bless and work in answer to these prayers in our lives, that we might be people fit to live in your kingdom of peace. And it's in Jesus' powerful name that we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right, let's stand together and declare our faith. Waiting for the slides this morning was the same kind of waiting. Our patience was blessed this morning in the end. Let's say these words together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You know what? Before we go, could we go back above and try to play the video that Paula had recorded for us today on the slideshow? Then we could say the words along with her as well before we go. Is that possible?
Good morning. The second week of Advent is a prayer for peace. In a world deeply divided, please join me.
Christ is our peace. He breaks down every dividing wall.
In a world filled with hostility and hatred, Christ is our peace.
He teaches us to love our enemies.
In a world of war where violence never ends, Christ is our peace.
He invites us to take up our cross and follow him.
A shoot will grow up from the stump of Jesse. A branch will sprout from his roots.
The Lord's Spirit will rest upon him. A spirit of wisdom and understanding.
Righteousness will be the belt around his hips, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat,
and a little child will lead them.
They won't harm or destroy anywhere on my holy mountain. The earth will surely be filled with the knowledge of the Lord.
Just as the water covers the sea, let the earth receive her king. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. And lean into the hope we have. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not sure. Why don't you check if there's another box in my office? Okay. Okay, guys, thanks. Is it still on air for the live stream?
No.
Okay, great. I'm so glad it worked out in the end. Oh, thank you. Well, I appreciate you saying that. You know, I'm helped a bit with this whole series of messages by the plans for the Let Earth Receive Her King book. So that's providing part of the foundation for this. So, yeah. But I'm glad that it's been a blessing to me, this whole process. So I'm thankful too, and I'm glad it was an encouragement to you. All right, thank you. You too. Never boring, Carrie. I didn't know that he hadn't told you, and honestly. I haven't heard from him much recently either. You know what I mean? I think he's just been so busy. He originally said he was only going to miss last Sunday, right? And then when it changed, he was going to have to be gone. Well, and then he was gone at the last minute for Scott's thing, too. So maybe it just got overlooked. Maybe he said it at one point, but just didn't remind you know. Yeah, so maybe we should just touch base on Thursday every week and just make sure we all are on the same page. So. Wow. Well, I'm glad you made it.
So all that work you did on Paula's video, I'm glad you were able to show it. Because it turned out so nice, you know?
Yeah.
I've been saying everything, you know, to not use it. I'm glad you did that.
Proclaim just was kind of difficult.
Are you going to give me the cord? And I realized I was holding it. You know? I was going to see if someone could take our picture by the tree for us to use it.
No.